Feel better than I did last week.
And Terry had fallen, what was it, Saturday?
Saturday.
Saturday.
On her way to the valley.
On her way to the valley, right? And Vince was out because he was sick. He wasn't gonna make the Valentine's banquet and exposed us for so much for that. And then she got down the stairs at the house and took a tumble. And messed up her right foot.
Yeah.
She's a
walking, wearing big boots.
She's a one in the mobilization. You didn't have to take her to the hospital.
Yeah.
My soul.
Appreciate it.
Is she doing better?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I got a praise, brother.
Yes, sir.
You know, everybody knows we're moving, I think.
What?
Laura's had me on a two-step high step stool, taking down curtain rods along the wall.
Yeah.
And when I turned to get down, I guess I just stepped off of it.
Yeah.
But I took a tumble on the floor too. Doctor x-rayed my knee again Monday, said it was all good, but it sure is stiff. It was doing good. I got released from physical therapy on Friday.
Yeah.
He released me on Monday, told me to see me in a year for a follow-up.
Right.
But he said everything looked good. And that was after my fall. So praise God, it didn't do nothing. Well, this was a second attempt on my knees.
Yeah.
My right knee, when I had it done,
yeah,
lived in spring.
Yeah.
Blake and Carissa was over at our house, and we rode down to the park, which was about a mile from the house on bicycle.
You done that on the bike, right?
Yeah. And we turned around a curve, and the front tire here, a pile of leaves, and if anybody knows what happened with a bicycle, dry leaves, it just shifted right out from under me, fell on the knee. It started bleeding and hurting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, wait. So it took me a few minutes to catch my breath. Got back. Anyways, I went to the doctor again a week later.
Yeah.
And he x-rayed and said, you're a very blessed man. He said it didn't hurt anything. So no more bicycles. And now no more
climbing. No more stepladders, brother.
Next time you call your daughter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no more stepladders.
You're going to have a longer drive.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Karen.
I'm praising God that Daddy hadn't fallen in over a month.
Daddy not fallen in a month.
But tomorrow, because it's not raining, because everything has been so wet, it's just been good.
He's going to try to mow.
It's kept him in the house. We're mowing and we're digging a hole with the tractor.
Digging a hole with the tractor.
So pray for him. May God watch us over him tomorrow. Or that it rains.
Any other praises?
I don't have a praise, but I'll tell you what a lady did yesterday at Walmart. Bobby and I were leaving. And she walked up to me. She says, can I give you a big hug and a happy Valentine's Day? And she just gave me a big old hug. Had no idea who she was.
Wow. Who is it?
I said, thank my love to me a long time ago. She just called and was there. She said, can I give you a hug?
Was that at Walmart? Happened to be at Walmart too, children?
Some time ago.
She might have felt sorry for you for taking care of your elderly son.
Well, I got to praise my foot is like better.
Duct tape this.
Does it say you're still duct taping?
No, duct tape's off. I'm off the duct tape and just got more at Custom Orthotic. I just got, I put some more stuff in there, some more padding, so it just hold that arch a little bit higher. So
stretch.
Just stretching my calves out. Oh, amen. Better. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I'll take better. Well, it's coming. I know it's going to get well now. Praise the Lord. Anything else?
Yes, sir. Stephen, I just got to say this. For Lois and I bought our new mobile home in Anderson.
Yeah.
This lady is such a sweet Christian lady. She's about the age of my daughters.
Uh-huh.
And she's been through a pretty rough life. She's been working.
Yeah.
She's a single mom now.
Wow.
And super sweet. And we connected instantly.
Yes.
And we got prayer. And our new mobile home with her.
Amen.
And when we got there yesterday, that was last week, when we got there yesterday to go pay for it, she was showing another lady a house, and she turned to her and said, excuse me, I'll be right back. She said, I got to get some hugs.
in Anderson, is that where,
Sandy Cat.
Business is it?
Twelve hundred children.
All the way.
But it's just amazing how God lights up in your life.
Yeah. How do y'all go to Anderson? Anderson's not anywhere here, Coleslaw.
Online.
Just online, okay.
That's everywhere, brother, don't you know that?
Still want to follow which walk go.
Yeah.
And then, all right.
And thank y'all for praying for a friend that I work with in the library across the street, Bella the Baxter. She was at the school yesterday, so she couldn't do a whole lot, but she was there, so thank you for your prayers. And she says she's never gone on the Baxter.
She said, "I've been baptized, that's all I need, amen."
Yeah.
All right, let me get that, I didn't have that thing on. All right, well, here we go. Let's go ahead and get into our Bible study tonight, and we are really just, I guess, just one verse or a few verses here in chapter 16. And I said we were going to have some closing comments on this Samson, and going to try to compare and contrast Samson a little bit with somebody else in the Bible, and hopefully we'll pick up on that and have some lessons to take away from that with us this evening. We've covered Samson in depth for sure, and as we look at it tonight, the suspense is pretty much over. Samson reached for two central pillars of the Temple of Dagon. He braced himself between them, and we asked the question, why did he do that? Because Samson, what? He finally trusted that God would hear his prayer. He trusted that God would hear him. And even though Samson's hair had grown back, Samson was under no illusions that his strength was automatic. He had finally grown in the Spirit enough to know that his strength was not automatic. He had finally figured out correctly after being humbled and reclaimed by God. Isn't it great when God reclaims somebody or God reclaims us? Isn't that a good thing? That's a great thing. God had finally humbled and reclaimed Samson. And he knew that his strength had come from God, and he was to be used not for his purposes, not for Samson's purposes, but Samson finally figured out he was to be used for God's purposes, right? Samson prayed that one final prayer in verse 30 of chapter 16. He said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Verse 30 reads, "And Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he bent with all his might so that the house fell on the Lord's and all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he killed in his life." What would you think was the most important moment of Samson's life? I mean, you know, his birth was important, right? Yeah. But the most important part, the most important moment of Samson's life was his death. The most faithful event of his life was the manner of his death. And the most triumphant episode of his life was his death, as he at last and at the last performed the role of beginning to rescue God's people that God had explained to his mother when the angel of the Lord announced Samson's miraculous birth. Now, you can listen to me read it, or you can turn back if you want, but Judges chapter 13, verse 5 says, Judges 13, 5, "For behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines." He finally fulfilled that in his death. He finally fulfilled it. Samson's death was in two crucial ways very different from somebody else's death. Who are you talking about? Samson's death was in two crucial ways very different from that of the Lord Jesus. How so? Well, first, Samson was in the Temple of Dagon as a result of his own inability to live under God's rule and for His glory. He was there because of disobedience. He was there because of sin. His downfall was brought about by his own personal disobedience. Everybody get that for Samson? Whereas the Lord Jesus always lived for His Father's glory, and Jesus died because of others, our disobedience. Well, Samson's death was in two crucial ways very different from that of the Lord Jesus, that first way. And then secondly, Samson's death achieved the limited role God had raised him up for to begin the deliverance of Israel, Judges 13:5. Jesus' death achieved deliverance once for all. Deliverance once for all. A final rescue. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 reads, "For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that He might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit." And I love this passage out of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. "After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then He said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will.' He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Isn't that a great verse? I love that verse in Hebrews. 1 Peter 3 is powerful, but Hebrews 10 just as powerful. What would you think was the most important moment of Samson's life? Well, Pastor, it's his death, of course. Secondly tonight, Samson's death was a picture. Samson's death was a shadow of Jesus' death. If we think about Samson's death, if we trace Samson's death, it allows us to grasp more deeply what the cross is about. And I think it allows us to worship the one who died for us more. Because we've said early on in Judges, and we've reminded you in Judges as we've gone through and as we've looked at the Judges, these Judges are Christ types. They are types of deliverers, right? And I just realized I didn't do this right here. Silence the phone. That's embarrassing. That goes off. Amen. Yeah, but it'd still be embarrassing, right? Samson's death, it was a picture, a shadow of Jesus' death. First, both Samson and Jesus were betrayed by someone who had acted as a friend, someone who was not a friend, acted as a friend but was not a friend. Delilah for Samson, and who for Jesus? Well, of course, Judas for Jesus, Pastor, right? Samson's death was a picture, a shadow of Jesus' death. See, Judas was not as close to Jesus as Delilah was to Samson, but the one Judas betrayed, Jesus, was far purer and more deserving of loyalty than Samson. Both were handed over to the Gentile oppressors. Both Jesus and Samson were tortured and chained and put on public display to be mocked. Both Samson and Jesus were asked to perform, though Jesus, unlike Samson, he refused to perform. Both died with arms outstretched. Both appeared completely struck down by their enemies. Yet both in their death crushed their enemy. Both in their death crushed their enemy. Samson, the Philistines, and the false pagan god Dagon. Jesus, the ultimate enemy, Satan. As Samson brought the temple crashing down around Dagon and his followers, the spiritual power and apparent triumph of Dagon was reversed. Samson brought permanent alienation between the cultures so that Israel would become distinct. Once again, they would become distinct, no longer unknowingly and inevitably under the Philistines' power. But on the cross, Jesus brought the power of Satan to nothing, disarming him, taking away all his power. Listen to what Paul says to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. And the him we talk about all the way through that passage is Jesus Christ. Amen? How did the cross achieve this? Well, the cross took away the penalty for our idolatry, meaning the penalty of death, so that Satan could no longer successfully prosecute God's people. And the cross took away the power of sin in our lives, enabling the Spirit to live in us to break the lure of idols in our hearts. Sin doesn't have dominion over us anymore. Amen? Samson prefigured Jesus' triumph. Samson prefigured Jesus' triumph at the cost of his own death over Satan. As Samson killed many as he did, so it took the death of Jesus to kill Satan's power, the unseen power of idolatry, and the power of death itself. Samson's death was a picture shadow of Jesus' death. First, both Samson and Jesus were betrayed by someone who had acted as a friend, was not a friend, only acted as one, Delilah and Jesus. Secondly, both of these men were saviors alone. Saviors alone, all by themselves. Othniel, we go back and look at the previous judges, Othniel and Ehud, had rallied all of Israel to fight their oppressors. Judges 3, verse 10, Judges 3, verse 27, Deborah and Barak, we remember those judges. They took two tribes, Judges chapter 4, verse 10. Gideon, as we go further down in the cycle of judges, Gideon had only how many? 300, that's right. By the time we get to Samson, sin had so devastated the people of God that no one, including for almost all of his life, Samson himself was willing to give themselves to liberate the people, to have any kind of liberation for God's people. In the same way as the Lord Jesus would, Samson's died, his act of deliverance was alone. The Jews did not look for Samson or ask for Samson to deliver them. God had shown that he could deliver Israel with an army of willing volunteers. God had also shown that he could save with as few as 300. But when the Spirit of God came upon Samson, the Lord showed that he had no need for even 300, that he could deliver his people with one. What a picture, what a looking forward to of Jesus. Amen. Samson's death was a picture, a shadow of Jesus' death. And finally this evening, in Samson, there was more than in any of the other judges, the pattern of this thing called the victorious defeat. The victorious defeat. What in the world is the victorious defeat? Well, rejected, beaten, chained, all alone, and finally dying under an avalanche of his enemies, Samson triumphed. Samson triumphed. God delivered his people through the victorious defeat of one Savior. One Savior. The Samson narrative begins with a strong man who's revealed to be weak, but it ends with a weak man who's stronger than ever he was before. Isn't that amazing? The Samson narrative, certainly the end of it, is indicative of the gospel. Jesus became weak to become strong. Jesus became weak to become strong. But there's, of course, one last crucial difference between Samson and Christ. With Samson's burial, his rule was over. Chapter 16, verse 31, then his brothers and all his father's household came down, took him, brought him up, and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. Thus he had judged Israel 20 years. It's done. It's over. He had his peace, didn't he? He had his say. He brought down the temple, killed all those Philistines. There's a period to his story. He has a finish. But with Jesus' burial, in many ways, the story had only just begun with Jesus' burial. He rules beyond his grave, not just before his grave, beyond his grave. The one who became weak to save will rule in strength and power eternally. So becoming and continuing as a Christian is about the same pattern. Becoming weak to become strong. Only those who admit they are unrighteous receive the righteousness of Christ. Amen? Only those who know their life and strength are theirs purely because of grace are not living in the grip of fear or boredom or despondency. Only those who know their own weakness are able to know God-given inner strength. Only those. The strength which enables us to avoid the pitfalls of Samson's life. Remember what they were. Extreme pride. Salacious lust. Incredible anger. Vengefulness off the charts. And then complacency, right? But my soul, God turned him around in the end. Amen? So as we think about how this story, the story of Samson, intersects our lives, questions to think about. Where in your life, just think about it. Where in your life do you need to rely on God's grace instead of your own strength? Where in your life? Yeah. Yeah. How would doing this change your actions and increase your joy? Think about that question. Where in your life do you need to rely on God's grace instead of your own strength? And how would doing this change your actions and increase your joy? Question number two. How does the manner and achievement of Samson's death move you to appreciate and praise the Lord Jesus for his? Think about that. How does the manner and achievement of Samson's death move you to appreciate and praise the Lord Jesus for his? All through the Bible, I mean, over and over again, really, isn't it? There's this constant theme of sacrifice, this constant theme of there's one coming, this constant theme of there's a deliverer, right? I mean, Samson's just, he's another baseball card. He's another, but hey, look at Samson. Man, look at this guy. He's on the team. Man, coach is coming one day, right? I mean, the big guy's coming one day. This guy's just AAA guy. He's good. But the big guy's coming, right? I mean, he does some things. He's not perfect, but the one perfect is coming, right? I mean, it just points, and I mean, the Bible just points and points. It's a book about Jesus, amen? it just points and points and points and points some more to Christ, to Jesus, to His gospel. Amen? And how are you feeling weak today? How are you feeling weak today? How are you feeling weak today? Think about that. It is God's strength in us that matters. It's God's strength in us that matters, right? That's where we get our strength, from God. How will knowing that enable you to have peace and purity in your weakness? Because a lot of times when we feel weak, what do? Pity party, right? A lot of times when we feel weak, man, we start thinking wrong. We feel weak, right? Boy, is this, man, I can't, right? God's strength. God, what sees us through. Amen? He's what sees us through. He's what undergirds us. Amen? Comments from you on Samson. Anybody have anything? Samson. Amen. God's redemption is always there waiting on us. Yes. Always. Waiting on us. Yeah, there you go. Right? But don't we appreciate God and the Holy Spirit for giving us the truth about Samson? Yeah, God doesn't sugarcoat it, does He? He doesn't sugarcoat of Samson. But yes, Roger said God's ways are better than ours. And what his life, Miss Karen, what his life could have been. What his life. Yeah. Could have been. That's good. No matter what you say, Bobby. Anyone else? Yes. Yeah, that's what just kept blowing my mind. You know, I thought I really knew the Samson story until you really, you know, get into it and dig it out and really study it and wring it out and look at it some more. Use us in spite of ourselves. My soul forgives us over now. Samson still got his consequences, right? Lost his eyes, got strapped to a grinding wheel, right? Always consequences, but God took the lemons and made the lemonade, didn't he? Rebecca, what were you going to say? Huh? Amen. God's always faithful, isn't he? Yeah. Always faithful. What do you think about the promises of God's word to his people? They're always going to be fulfilled. God's promises. Never goes back on his word, does he? Never reneges, does he? Yeah. I mean, even though they reneged, and even though we renege, he doesn't ever renege, right? Wow. Yeah, yeah. Right? Anything else? Any kind of closing comment on this? Yeah. Man. You know, you figure out how sovereign God is, how sinful man can be, and how big grace really is. How big grace really is. How big grace really is. I mean, how sovereign God is, how sinful man can be, and how gracious the good Lord is. I mean, it's just amazing. Amen, girl. He forgives us for all our sins. Outstanding. Like the thief on the cross. Yeah. Yeah, amen. No, that's right, brother. That's right. That's right. Yeah, amen, brother. God prevailed, amen. God prevailed. I give old Samson credit. He never gave up. Eyes gone. Grinding the corn, grinding the wheat. Chained. Reduced to nothing as far as, I mean, he's a prisoner. He never gave up. Never gave up. I guess we find out maybe one day if we want to know, or maybe we get to know, I don't know. I always wanted to know what happened to the little boy who led him. The little boy who led him. He asked for the little boy, like blind people today have seeing eye dogs. He had a seeing little boy. That's who led him around. I wonder what happened to the little boy. Right? I mean, that's just a sentimental part of me. Where's the little boy? What happened to the little boy? Did he tell the little boy, hey, you better get out of here? you might want a jet. It's about to get dicey up in here. You might want to go, right? Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, that's the big faith part. That's the big faith part, because he asks God to give him strength one more time, and then he puts his arms up there and he gets going, right? Believing that God is going to strengthen him one last time. That's the faith. Amen? That's the faith. Praying in God's will for God's purposes and will, and God answered his prayer, right? It's a lesson in faith, right? Faith is like a what? It's like a muscle. Got to exercise it. Got to squeeze it, right? Amen? All right, all right. Very good. Well, y'all did good tonight. Prayer requests, let's try. Where are we at?